I'm Charles Breton.
And I'm Chris Henson. And together we are
a Jew
and a Gentile
walk into a bar
mitzvah.
Wishing I could change the things that I screwed up. What am I supposed to do? I can't give up. You know I can't give up.
So welcome into podcast 67.
Episode 67. We don't have 67 podcasts.
No, just one.
Just one.
But it's the 67th time we've done it.
Right.
Well, the first time we've done it right.
Right. Today.
Today.
I'm not the Jew. I'm still the Gentile, Chris.
And I'm Charles, and I am still the Jew. And we cover all the hot topics, everything from the sarcastic to the profane.
Often at the same time.
Hopefully, if we can. As we like to do, want to thank our sponsors who've been very good to us. Men of the Beard, Beard Oil, great Pastor Gnar.
Pastor Gnar, which we'll see him.
Mixing up that,
sooner than
that
later.
Oil. Yeah, because, well, we got some news. We'll hold on to that
news
for a second. Of course, we cannot get through any podcast without our Virgil Caine whiskey.
Same goes for our listeners.
Well, it makes it much easier for them. Well, then they don't have to get through it. They just have to drink enough till they pass out. Then our podcast is awesome.
Can you drink us smart? So, I mean, like, you can drink some people pretty?
No.
Like, is there an alcohol distortion factor, an ADF, for the Jew and a Gentile, the podcast?
Well, we're going to put it to the test this summer, that's for sure. So I'm drinking the Robber Baron Rye.
And I'm going with the Virgil Caine ginger-infused bourbon. It's so good. It has no more bite to it than, like, a children's cough syrup. So I know that's maybe not the analogy, but I'm trying to think, you know, for people that don't drink bourbon or kind of wary of just having a nice dram and a drop of water in it.
Then they're not listening to us.
They're not. They're probably not, or not anymore.
Right. And those who want more than a dram, they're not listening to us because they're passed out drunk right now.
Right, right. I mean, if you're going to get drunk, Virgil Caine would be a nice way to go.
Yes, it would.
And it wouldn't, but it's so good.
But we are not advocating over-drinking or alcoholism.
Right.
We're just saying that Virgil Caine is a wonderful product and we enjoy it
very much.
It's a damn fine whiskey.
We haven't had the Electric Owl yet, though.
No, we have to put that on the list. But
if you're listening, Virgil,
not working on the Danville train.
Yeah, we apologize for Sherman, although, to be honest, we had nothing to do with it, as neither of us were alive.
Yeah.
And certainly none of us living in the North.
No.
Right.
Yeah. The Pipe and Pint, which was the purveyor of the cigar that I will be reviewing today that I'm smoking and enjoying.
Well, I'm smoking one that they do have the My Father Lounge.
They
had the My Father Lounge.
Well, they still have it.
It's
just not currently open.
Right.
But that may change. But speaking of lounges, there's also Top Leaf,
which is
Cigar Lounge in Winston, which is a beautiful place to go sit and smoke a cigar.
Probably be there tomorrow at some point.
Probably be there tomorrow at some point also.
Cigar Mom's working, so, you know, on the weekend. So if you want to go be insulted by someone and smoke a cigar, you know, Saturday's at Top Leaf.
There you go.
Yeah.
Double header.
Yeah, just tell her you want an acid and talk about how great a smoke it is.
And then explain cigars to her.
Yeah, yes, mansplaining cigars to
cigar mom
is just
you're taking your life. That's a death wish. That is a death wish.
She knows her stuff. I mean, she really does.
She does.
She's a power smoker. Now, she does like that full bodied. She occasionally takes a break between full bodied cigars with medium bodied cigars, and I think she used a light bodied cigar once to light another cigar.
Yeah,
I think that was how that worked.
Yeah.
But Top Leaf, I had the good grief. Last weekend, this past weekend I had the Felix Azzeline something special. My God,
is that not something special?
And I'm sitting there going, like, this is $8.
Yeah,
you know, and Spivey was there, and he's like, isn't that something? And I was like, it's aptly named.
It is very aptly named.
And so I
love that cigar.
That's a $15 cigar.
Taste wise, don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, but we're hoping that maybe, you know.
Yeah, we're hoping he'll sponsor
us. So at that point.
But you have the Havana Sunrise or Havana Sunset. That's even better.
No, you got the sampler, though, which they still had. They also got some Mbombay samplers back in.
Yeah, and those are a great way. If you haven't had a particular cigar and you want to get an idea of their range in their line. The samplers are really good. That's how I picked out some things when I started smoking the M. Bombay, and then that Felix Azzeline. That's the first time I had the Something Special, and the Havana Sunrise, which is absolutely amazing cigar. But we also have one more sponsor, and that's Four Saints Brewing Company. Great beer. Great guys.
Coming up.
Beer and Hymns coming up.
May the
couple of weeks. Yes, 6th. May 6th.
I say, was it on the 4th? May the 4th be with you.
No.
Or you could, you know what? You could go down for Cinco de Mayo and, you know, just sleep outside with the protesters and, you'll be there for beer and Hymns when you,
Or cerveza and Hymns. Now, see, that would be interesting. If Cinco de Mayo were Sunday, could have cerveza y Hymns.
Well, we would need to have Mass, too. Which means Phil would have to be down here.
Ah.
Because there's nothing better than...
No, Joe could do it.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, well, he's close. He's Catholic light.
Yeah.
He's Episcopal, but...
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Phil's not Catholic.
No, but it's Phil freaking Wyman. I mean, come on.
That's true. It is Phil Wyman.
Let's be fair. Most of us, when we were kids, dreamed about growing up to be Phil. We didn't know it yet.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, once you've met him, you realized he is the culmination of all your life streams.
Right.
Yes.
So, Phil, if you're listening to this, which we don't blame you if you're not.
Well, Coachella is over, and he's got some time. Can you imagine Phil freaking Wyman at Coachella?
We
got to get him. Phil, you got to take a break on your travels. You got to be on the podcast.
Can you call in?
Yeah.
This time with a cell signal.
Yeah. That is just amazing to us.
Do we plug everybody? I feel like we plugged everybody.
We've thanked our sponsors.
I think so. Been the Beard Oil.
Right.
Pipe and Pint there in Spring Garden in Greensboro. Right. Top Leaf Cigar Lounge in Winston. Right. On First Street.
Virgil Cain.
Oh, Virgil. Virgil's why I can't remember if we've named all of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Not really. Friend of the show. We plug them. Jaw Works. They got merch now.
I saw that.
Stickers and water bottles.
Yeah.
And it was like
classy. Classy. Yeah,
we don't have water bottles. Not yet.
Not yet.
We don't need water bottles. We need, the mixy thingy.
Cocktail shakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jew. Well, like one of the... Well, the top will be the Jew, the bottom will be the Gentile. I don't know. You may be a bottom. I have no idea.
I'd have to be the top because you have to remove, that little tip off of the shaker in order for your cocktail to be kosher.
I feel bad that I didn't see that one coming. I actually was like, what's he going to do with this?
And such small portions.
Well, I mean, it would do like everything else. We'll buy one and stick a sticker on it.
Which is what we do anyway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, what would be the most random? Jew and a Gentile? The catheter.
Discreet pocket catheters.
Jew and a Gentile, the nightstick. If you're going to impress people.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why... Why I went from catheters to nightsticks.
To oppression.
Yeah.
That's pretty kinky, though, when you think about it.
There's nothing kinky about catheters.
Well, then you're not using them right.
Gross.
Four Saints Brewing Company. Four Saints pays homage to the patron saints of beer, Saint Wenceslas, Saint Nicholas, Saint Luke, and Saint Augustine of Hippo. They've become the most recognized patron saints for brewing and beer because of their contributions to and associations with the world's favorite sudsy beverage. Four Saints founders Joel McCloskey and Andrew Deming are carrying on the brewing tradition in hopes of future sainthood, or at least to make some really good beer. Four Saints Brewing Company, Asheboro, North Carolina. Let's move on. What are you smoking? On that note, speaking of nightsticks and catheters, what are you smoking?
I'm smoking the Judge, which is one we've had on the show before. My father, I had it with me last week, and I said, I'm going to go with the, I think I had the Cabinet 5. I don't know, I've smoked some of the Cabinet 5 since JD got
a Cabinet 5 that some very nice person brought to you.
Yeah, right. Two of them, actually. You did, which does pay off the debt of the smoking the fucking 95 Excalibur, Hoya de Monterey Excalibur. I mean, you might as well have been smoking Mrs. Gentile for that matter. I mean, that was the kind of the offensiveness of it, really. But probably would have left court issues with that. Mark, she's at a Jimmy Buffett concert tonight, so, you know, and again, she listens to this. So, there. What was I talking about? Fuck was I talking about, Charles?
You were trying to review the judge.
I was trying to review the judge.
You gotta go easy on that
Virgil Cain.
Bourbon, yeah.
Well, it's by my father, so you know it's going to be well blended. That's all the Garcia stuff is. This one's actually fairly recent. I think it's about a couple, maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years old at most.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly recent release by them, but well worth the bucks. The wrapper is Ecuadorian Sumatran Oscuro, and the binder is a double binder, Nicaraguan, Corojo and Crio. Filler, again, Nicaraguan, La Bonita 2, I might have to look that one. Pedrero and San Rafael. So it's like with many Garcia cigars, mm-hmm. it's got so
it's
much
a cornucopia.
Going. It really is. And the tasting notes, we have sort of that black pepper, which it's kind of
that's their
common
signature
with them. Yeah. Definitely some cedar and some mocha coffee. And I'm not to that third of the cigar yet, but as I recall, it has some sweet notes towards the end, mm-hmm. cinnamony. Yeah,
easy for you to say,
right? You should quit smoking. You're coughing a lot tonight.
Yeah.
Or drink more Virgil Cane.
Yeah, I'm not drinking enough rye.
Wow, right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a very traditional Southern cure for cough. Rock and rye.
It is rock and rye.
Although I have no idea why sucking on a rock is going to make you feel any better.
No, I think that's, you drink enough rye, you pass out and hit your head on a rock.
Right. Yeah. I did one time in college. I went to my buddy's house because I was so sick. I went to his parents' house in Clayton. And sweet folks, who, sweet enough, I'm not going to mention their names because, you know, they have reputations to expect to protect both. And they didn't have any coughs here. And I was just barking my head off coughing and, It was back in those days. You didn't have 24-hour anything really,
except for liquor stores. So,
his dad had some Canadian Mist, some kind of like Canadian blended whiskey. And I just remember that I didn't have a cough, but God, my head hurt the next morning. So I was if a little bit helps. And at some point, you realize you forgot keeping track of the dosage, and all of a sudden, you owe that guy a fifth. And no, you're not coughing, but. Yeah, going to feel infinitely worse the next day. Bad decisions in a bottle.
Very often.
Let me ask you what you're smoking now?
Sure, ask me what I'm smoking.
What are you smoking, Charles?
I'm smoking fresh into the pipe and pint, new from Viaje, the Viaje Exclusivo Petit Lancero, Nicaraguan Puro. Beautiful Nicaraguan Criollo 98 wrapper, Nicaraguan filler and binder. And in some ways it's very much Viaje, but in others it's not. You've got the beautiful earthy tobacco-y, little bit of pepper, hints of some sweet cocoa, but it's not as full-bodied as you usually get when you think of
right,
Viaje.
I mean, this is the sure
this
shot,
is,
folks.
Yeah, this is just right in that sweet spot of medium to full. You get that good pepper up front and a little bit of sweet on the back, and I am enjoying this cigar very much.
I'm not a convert to Lanceros. I know you give me shit about it, but I get it. You get more of the wrapper and you get to experience that more so.
Yeah, and it tests the blender because they've got fewer leaves to work with.
Well, I've had to achieve
whatever flavor profile they're looking for.
I think the last one I had was the Tabernacles Lancero, which was a good cigar.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what part of it you were smoking, short of the label, it was really good.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I'll have to try that one, you know, whenever I can manage to get up here during business hours. Virgil Cain Rye Whiskey started with one goal, to create the best damn whiskey around. Drawing on their culinary know-how, and driven by flavor, founders David and Ryan, both accomplished chefs, were inspired to boldly blend, infuse, and tinker with choice ingredients to craft category-shattering whiskeys, proving that It's not about stuffy tradition, but about taking what you know and taking chances. Each of their spirits is a tribute to their dedication to making whiskey their way, a whiskey they'd want to drink. Again, Virgil Caine Rye Whiskey, a damn fine whiskey.
As you know, this we're recording during the NFL draft.
Well, they know now.
Yeah. And so we decided, or I decided and suggested to you, that it'd be interesting to do our own sort of spiritual draft.
Okay. Okay. There's no Jewish theology, as you said.
Right. So. But you know, if you were starting a religion or faith system.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll have a few rounds and
just see how much of your time we can waste, dear listener.
Yeah. Or until we run out of whiskey, whichever
right.
comes
you,
first.
You, so
we'll,
how do,
we'll
do
either
you,
have five rounds.
Well, right,
or,
right. But who do you determine? Who?
Well, we can flip a coin as to who.
Well,
goes
I was going
to
say, like you know, is like Christianity's done more you know bad things lately, so I think they would be lower in the draft win wise and.
Right. Well, you want to go first.
Right. Well, I'm going to pick.
Well, you're newer on the scene.
So. Right. So we're expansion.
Yeah,
expansion
team.
See, I don't watch. I really don't watch that much NFL. Like, last time I really watched the NFL was the last time the Bears won a Super Bowl. Since then, it's just been one abyss of a season after another. I mean, you know, if the Cleveland Browns, God bless them, stopped being in business, maybe Chicago would, I don't know, draft somebody, you know, give them the players to help them do well, and then not trade them the minute they start producing. And that isn't much like Cleveland. It's not coaches. It's not management. It's the owners, which as long as we're making money, fuck winning games. I don't care. When you texted me that, I picked Dr. Future Rabbi Mrs. Jew as my first pick because when you get her,
right.
I mean, she's a franchise player.
Right, and you're going to attract all the cool
right.
free
you're
agents.
Right, the free agents. You're going to get all the fan base is going to go up infinitely. It's going to put butts in seats.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and
I trade
that,
up.
That is important. Yeah, you're going to have to trade up.
I trade up for the second pick and pick Phil freaking Wyman just because, you know, I don't even have to make an argument for that.
No. No.
He's a wily veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And his 40 time is unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and the man moves like the speed of a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, RV.
Yeah. So, well, I was... Okay. All right. So you're not going with JC?
No. Well, you see that everybody says you got to go with Christ.
Or JW.
JW.
Yeah, John Wesley.
No, I thought about that today. I was like, I wouldn't pick Wesley first because you know what?
Well, he'll be so pedantic and boring.
He'll be on.
Yeah, he'll be available in a lower round.
Like a Tom
it's a reach.
Brady,
yeah, he's a reach at the first round, especially the top pick.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm trying to figure out where would I go first? I know that some of this is sort of name dropping our favorite theologians and whatnot. So, I'm going to start with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Because
I had a feeling that's where you would start.
Well, Bonhoeffer, if I've literally read everything the man ever wrote. I don't mean that by exaggeration. I just felt a kinship to his theology early on. I mean, this was a guy that's focusing on very Eastern thinking in a manner of speaking. So it's the community and just, of course, this is not the, you know, I read Cost of Discipleship because it was really racy. I went straight through from the dissertation all the way to Letters and Papers, you know. So most of those fair weather fans that like, you know, Cost of Discipleship often haven't read the letters where he's talking about a religionless Christianity. So leave that at that.
Yeah.
But Bonhoeffer's my early pick. And, I don't know. I don't watch the NFL as much, but I know in the NBA sometimes you just got to go with the European players. I mean, Dirk's worked out well for Dallas.
Yes, it has.
Could be the next Dirk.
Could be.
He was a perfectionist. There are stories about him at Union playing tennis and getting really pissed that he lost and, you know, what was essentially a pickup game.
Mm.
So, I mean, and, you know, German engineering. So, you know, there's that. Started his own seminary, you know, so you could see him in the front office after his playing days. So Bonhoeffer's off the board early.
Yeah. Well, I... For my pick, I'm actually
not going to say Rambam.
No. You're scouting. You know, you've limited yourself.
Oh, no doubt.
You know. Yeah. You know, you were just looking at, you know, the Power Five conference schools.
Right.
Okay. See, I'm going back.
Well, German theology.
Literally old school.
Mid 20th century.
No, further than I'm going to foundational.
Oh, we're going here. Biblical?
I'm going biblical.
Oh,
on
I see.
You.
Those 4-year players, do they have the legs under them anymore?
Yeah, but they're mature.
Right.
Okay. And they're plug and play. Okay. So for me,
you're on the clock.
Yeah. Well, I'm like Jerry Jones, I'm going to milk it. We're having the draft literally in my house. So like he did last night, I can milk this moment. So I'm going for a key figure in my faith system. Okay. Because basically I'm going to recreate Judaism to a large extent.
So you're drafting Mel Brooks.
Close. No. So you want to take a wild guess?
Well, you haven't mentioned Buber yet or Heschel.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking you're going to go.
Well, I'm getting.
If you didn't go with Rambam, I mean, other than that, you're
going
back to Moses.
Look, I've got thousands and thousands. You're getting warmer.
Abraham?
Nope.
Melchizedek.
Related to Moses.
Aaron?
Nope.
Pharaoh.
Miriam.
Okay, I am intrigued.
See, I'm going with Miriam for a number of reasons. The first is her intangibles are amazing. Okay.
Why did that sound really creepy when you said it like that?
Because they are. I mean, the measurables, I mean, yeah, I mean, she doesn't have the stature of a Moses or, you know, the power, you know, the quick first, you know, power burst off the line of Aaron. Yeah. But when you look at her record in college, okay, she's a winner, okay? In fact,
this train never got on the rails tonight. It's
no,
you can't even
this,
derail.
Follow this though. If it weren't for Miriam, Judaism would not exist. Okay, that's how important her play was.
The Snow White Miriam.
That's how important her play was, in their success.
She franchise tag, or we just, you know.
Well, eventually she'll get franchise
right,
tag.
Okay,
but there are. You know, two very key moments in which, if it were not for Miriam, the story of Judaism would have ended. The first is she literally saves Moses' life when he's born.
Right.
Okay. That doesn't happen. Who's leading us out of Egypt? And then at the Sea of Reeds, it's Miriam who leads the women and the Israelites through the Sea of Reeds. But, I mean, if you're talking leadership, and, you know, ability to read the play and call the audible.
Right, and she's going to be...
And get us into the best possible position.
She'll keep you under salary cap because nobody's thinking big name, but, you know.
That's right. So
big
that's,
delivery
that's why
without the big...
Miriam is my first pick.
Right. See, I'm sitting here thinking of my second pick, and it's just... if I'm going back with the influences I have, and I'll qualify this one, and I'm sure we'll get shit for it, but I'm going to go with John Howard Yoder. Now, I have no love for his treatment of women and many of the other things that he's been guilty of. That I'm talking purely from, you know, politics of Jesus and texts as being, you know, the ones that were more impactful.
So you're going to ignore the off-field character issues.
Right. Well, okay. I figure that with Bill Cosby, you know, right now, nobody's going to notice if I slip in second pick John Howard Yoder.
Okay, all right.
He may be the next Johnny Manziel or Ryan Leaf for all I fucking know, but, you know, we're going for...
But, you know, the talent is
right.
You always got to look at, is the talent worth the risk?
And it probably isn't. But, you know, I feel like the competition is expecting me to pick Wesley. Again, he's going to be there available on the board late.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows? I might get him and then trade him, you know, for something else.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, you can always trade down. He may still be there, you know, for some later round picks.
But yeah, the off the field stuff, inexcusable. Even to, and to say that very seriously outside of the joke, definitely. Mm-hmm. But you know, Politics of Jesus was just sort of when I read that. Granted, I'm reading this in 98, 99-ish. So well before, at least, certainly I knew of misdeeds, was just this, holy shit, this makes sense. This was kind of like everything being turned on its ear that, you know, when I would say stuff like that he wrote in that book in high school, my youth leaders and pastors were like, we don't know what to do with that, but we're offended. And then I get to seminary, and after, you know, years of being told to be quiet, I'm like, holy shit. You know, it so it was struck a nerve. You know, sometimes you got your softy even.
So second pick. This is where now, I'm, you know, playing safe as the GM, and I'm definitely going with Rambam.
I'm surprised. I'm not surprised by this pick. I'm surprised he wasn't the first out of the gate. Yeah.
Well, you know, I had,
because Miriam would also be on the. I mean,
well, you see, yeah, I know she's a reach,
right?
I know she was a reach, but you know, I'm looking for a franchise establishing. You know,
so you're building a dynasty,
the one that's going to do the dirty work, and make sure that everybody's doing their job, and you know, she's got those qualities.
She's a foundational player.
She's a foundational
player. Her.
Yeah. So now Rambam, you get the flexibility. Okay, he's a Swiss Army knife.
But Rambam over Hillel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, because of the versatility.
KG veteran.
Okay. you know, because you've got not just the, you know, he wrote his own Mishnah Torah, which is impressive, but he also was a physician. He also spoke several languages. He was,
he could play both
teacher.
Ways.
Well, I don't know about that.
No,
but
not an Iron Man player, Iron Person.
No, it's just that you can put him in a lot of different positions. You can, he could, he. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I didn't let that go.
Well, you're the one. Well, you started. You said he can play, go both ways.
Well,
you know, he can do a lot of things for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and besides the fact that, you know, from Moses to Moses, there's been no one like Moses.
Right.
I mean, if that's not the greatest scouting report ever, you know, you got to go with the man. He's not as now. I know the critics are going to say, "Oh, he was a rationalist, and he tried to match Judaism to Hellenistic Platonic rational philosophy." But when you read more of his works than just the few that some people have read, that's not really the case. He's much more of a mystic, and it's more that he's explaining to the rationalists why Judaism is not. He's just using their vocabulary. So, you know, he can learn a lot of different systems and can work in those systems. He can, you know, write in Arabic. He can write in Aramaic, write in Hebrew. And talk about mentoring. I mean, the Guide to the Perplexed. You know, so anybody else we bring up, this is a guy I want in the philosopher's room mentoring the young guys.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with the pick other than I'm surprised it went second. But
You got to have a religion in order to have somebody comment on it.
Right. So you put more thought into this than I did on the today. I was like, okay, I'll see. We got my fan favorites.
Well, you got to do your scouting. You got to put the work in if you're going to build a championship team.
Okay. So I'm the Cleveland Browns in this draft.
Right. And I hate to. I'm not going to say then who I am because I hate their guts.
The Dolphins?
No, I love the Dolphins.
Well, I didn't know. Steelers?
I wouldn't mind being the Steelers, but who's the franchise that everybody says is the
Patriots?
Best? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, right. We're not going to be that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So you're up, third pick.
So, you know, quick off the board, we're going to go with Gustavo Gutierrez. You're going to go with Latin American liberation theology, mm-hmm. partly to... to, well, I mean, it's kind of a continued thread with my picks is, you know, political and social normed agitators.
Mm-hmm.
And Gutierrez could have been first on the, wasn't going to be first on the list. Because, I mean, that, no, I have no, to get
you
my.
You had to get Bonhoeffer number one. That's as a no-brainer a pick as you can get.
Right. But Gutierrez almost slipped up in the number two and actually would have, I'd remembered this. But no, I mean, I remember hearing him preach once at Duke and a very simple sermon on, oh, what was his name? The blind Bartimaeus, you know, in this passage where mm-hmm. he kind of puts us with this absurd question of why did the Son of Man, Son of God, true God from true God, ask a blind man what he wanted him to do for him? Because the rest of the room were going, well, clearly he wants to see. His intent was, that's the same thing people do with the poor and the oppressed. They assume they know what they want most. And that this was more parable in teaching than just a healing. And I'm sitting there going, well, damn. I was just blown away. And then, of course, I went into his many of his works. I've read through a couple times his commentary on Job. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he in a move that doesn't surprise, I think, Jewish readers, but for some Christians, it was kind of revelation. You know, it was, is that the focus of Job isn't Job. Job is just, he's just a vehicle. Right. It's the right. friends.
Yeah.
Again, him likening that to, similar in that Bartimaeus vein of, you know, when we focus on all the characters at play, the picture becomes a lot more nuanced and a lot more impactful. So yeah, Gutierrez, that's going to be a quick, you know, slam dunk. Mm-hmm. And again, continuing the Latin, continuing the bringing in the foreign talent, you know, the out of market. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, and if he doesn't produce, we can leave him in South America for a bit, bring him up.
Right, bring him up later to the big leagues.
Right, you know, G League, USFL,
whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, for number three, and you sort of telegraphed this move and did a poor job of disguising it, is, yeah, you have to go with Hillel. I mean, again, you just look at the success that he's had. I mean, how many?
Which one? Oh, no. I was like Heschel. Sorry.
How many? We all know the stats. So we all know the great plays that he's made. They're just, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? If I'm only for myself, what am I? If not. Now, when
tore on one foot,
I mean, talk about ability and skill. I mean, he can really, he can be creative in making the play. You know, the pocket breaks down, and here he is on one foot teaching the entirety of Torah.
Right. Know, so he's a scrambler.
Which is, that classic play that he made of. What is hurtful to you to not do to others, the rest is all commentary, go learn.
Right.
It's part of one of the greatest plays ever come out of that period.
And he can audible. I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah. He can. You know, the Hillel sandwich, he said, hey, you ate it with the Moror, with the Charoset, but you didn't have any bitterness, so we got to make the Hillel sandwich here. You know, he's an innovator. Game changer. Got to go with Hillel.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason I'm not picking Boober is because I just won't be as convincing. Although Martin could be on the board. So I'm going to go in a weird mood. I feel like I need defensive players.
Oh, going apologetics?
Apologetic.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with St. Athanasius.
If you're going to go, he's high on the board. That's
the black
best at that position.
Tiny guy by most historical arguments or portrayals, but huge at Nicaea and at the various sort of even ecumenical conferences, and foundational for the Nicene Creed, which in many ways is an orthodoxy in a document. And so, yeah, I got to put Athanasius in there because, you got to have those guys that are riffing and expanding the horizons of theology in the team, but you got to have those guys that got good fundamentals.
So this pick, this is a tough one because I don't have, I've got Rambam and he wrote a Mishnah Torah, but I don't have a pure Torah scholar.
How many rounds are we going? Because I'm over here on the clock.
What do we have? Four now?
I don't know.
Four?
I have not been paying attention for about 2 years now, if we're being honest.
I don't have anyone, the pure Torah scholar. And yet, if I'm just looking, so that's a need position. But then there's also, best available.
Oh, I was thinking you might get special teams since you're being kind of...
No. So, it's because you're in a later round here. It's kind of tough, do I go Rashi to get that pure, the greatest Torah scholar ever? Or do I go Heschel, best available thinker and philosopher?
I don't think I'm more familiar with Heschel. I've heard the name other Rashi, but
that's something. This is a tough one for me.
Because it's still early in the draft, and you don't want to leave. This would be a lot
round
with,
four.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yeah, I guess let's go with Heschel because if I do need Torah commentary, I do have Rambam. Although like I said Rashi is the best. So that'll be the hill I die on when they fire me. It's I'm the guy who picked Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning. Not that Heschel's Ryan Leaf, but picking.
Yeah, and I saw.
I'm like all those GMs who passed on Tom Brady.
Did you see the 30-30 though on Ryan Leaf?
Yeah,
it was actually.
He's really gotten his life
good
together.
For him. I watched
really
that
good.
Going
he's really good.
What a 180 and a real character in the positive sense of that word.
Yeah.
Anyway, sidetracking is more than we already were.
So I got to go Heschel. You've talked about the people who have influenced you, and I've read more of Heschel than just God in Search of Man, Man is Not Alone, and so I know a little bit more than, so I did my due diligence on Heschel.
Right. No, you did.
And the combination between his more modern view of Judaism but Hasidic view, the Hasidism, the mysticism that he brings to it, and just how beautiful the language he writes in. So not only is he expressing incredibly profound ideas and thoughts about Judaism, about God, about man's relationship to God, God's relationship to man, but he does it in such a beautiful way that just reading him, it's like reading poetry. Even if you don't understand everything he's saying, you walk away after reading or hearing somebody read a passage of his and you just go, wow.
And Heschel's going to be in the streets pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
an activist.
Oh, absolutely.
He's pray with his feet.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that you give. He gives the team a conscience.
Right. So mine's in need of a conscience. So if you're off the board, I got to go with Stanley Hauerwas as my next pick. I mean, first Duke guy to make. Well, I mean, he's actually first Notre Dame, Yale. Mm. So, I mean, he bounced around as far as his playing days, but. But no, and especially if anybody can take the distillation of someone like Yoder and counter that for all the other mistakes that Yoder made. Plus, he was just that person when studying ethics was just otherworldly, mm-hmm. and he had such a prophetic voice, and he swears more than we do. So I mean,
Well, fuck yeah.
Oh no, I mean he would the 52 would be like, oh, he must have been not feeling well that day. But no, just an impactful. I mean, Resident Aliens. I mean, his critique. He's a pacifist, which I respect greatly. And So and again, I went with the hometown choice by going with the Duke player, but he's retired. So I mean, technically, he's not a Blue Devil. Not that he really gave a rat's rear end one way or the other. Who was playing whatever. Son of a bricklayer, kind of like maybe he's like the Dusty Rhodes of my team.
Ooh,
Ooh.
American Dream,
American Dream,
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty's probably gonna be available like in free agency.
Yeah, you can get Dusty later. Well, see, now you're gonna force my hand because we're in the same conference.
I was wondering if it's AFC NFC.
Well, we're
we'd be AFC because the Dolphins are AFC.
Yeah, because sometimes you make picks based on what teams in your own division have done. So if you're going to bring in Howard Watson, then I have to now draft.
I know who you're going to pick.
Reinhold Niebuhr.
It wouldn't be H. Richard.
No.
I think he read H. Richard.
And not just because that Illinois Howard Watson, but also because you'd
have to go with Tillich.
I haven't read enough Tillich yet to really do that. I'm working on that. He's my summer reading.
Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to do
I don't know yet.
Dimensions of Faith. Oh, crud. I can't think of the Dynamics of Faith.
Dynamics of Faith.
Where he really critiques doubt. And it's a thin read book-wise, but it's like the Nas cigar-wise. It doesn't look like much, but holy shit, you're going to be there for a while chewing through it.
But, but with Niebuhr, I mean, the critique of Christian ethics, the case that he makes for rejecting the Hellenization, romanticization of Christianity. The problem with Christianity in the West was when it went from being the religion of the oppressed to the religion of the oppressor. Trying to return Christianity to a pre-Greek ethic where there was actual moral and value. That's a strong defense.
You're going to have to. I got Athanasius, so you're going to have to put somebody else on the board.
Yeah. That's an important pick.
So my next pick, complimentary, and I'm going to stay with Duke. And again, I'm going with the theologians and folks that formed me. Jeffrey Wainwright, which most folks won't know, but he's done a lot of the ecumenical conferences with Catholicism. He was one of the Protestant attenders and contributors to Vatican II. He's a heavyweight. And we always joke, the guys of us that came over from NC State, that if an engineer ever became a theologian, it'd be him. Because he just his way of his lecture were so easy to follow that I can remember everything from what he said, the sort of side stories to kind of bring it home. And it was just an amazing. And again, he's the one that introduced me to all the patristics and really did almost the history of theology. And then, he had David Steinmetz, God rest his soul, you got it. You got the historical side that happened to also talk about theology. So it was just, and again, I used his doxology book all the way through ordination, and it's still a primer. Like if we're talking about clearing out my library and keeping just the bare bones, he's on the, it's a no brainer. That's going on there. It's paperback. It's worn thin. The spine's cracked, but well used. And again, now he's going to kind of, he'll kill conflict depending on who I pick later in the draft. But sometimes conflict can be good for a team.
It can be the competition.
Right. You got to put somebody in to make it work.
Yeah.
And again, to meld everything out, Phil freaking Wyman is still on the board. Phil's a front office guy.
I love Phil, but I feel like, I got to go position. I got to go position a need here.
Okay.
And having Heschel, prolific writer, social activist, but let's face it, he's up there. There's a lot of tread. There's not much tread left on that tire. Okay. So I want to bring in somebody who can, learn from him and then take the reins.
Yeah, you need your Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You got your Brett Favre.
Right.
So you got your Bart Starr, if you were Paul Hornung,
Yeah. So I'm going with Rabbi Danya Rutenberg.
Oh, our first. Well, no, not our first. Miriam. No, Miriam was the first. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prolific writer. Yeah, she's a lot of publication. So 6 books, all different facets of spirituality. So she can speak to the the different elements of spirituality, but she's also very much involved in social justice, social action. She's a member of TRUA, which I would have gone with Jill Jacobs, but again, I see her more as a front office, maybe hire her as the GM. Danya can be out there on the streets in the tradition of Heschel, but also can publish and get the word out that
fill
way
the
as
shoes
well.
And
fill
then
the
some.
Shoes and then some.
Yeah, definitely cut her own path through that as well.
Yeah, so.
So we're going.
That's my pick.
So kind of, where do I want to go next? I, I'm thinking, do I want to go foreign and more philosopher? Do I want to keep it close to home? So since you went with Rutenberg, I'm going to put James Cone in there. Because I feel that they're neat. They're my team theologically has taken a bent to it, but it's not included much diversity.
Yeah,
when you get right down. That. I mean, Gutierrez would probably be the lone exception. Athanasius, he was Coptic, but James Cone. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, Black Power, Black Theology, the Cross and the Lynching Tree. And I'm trying to. Oh, what was the other one? He did one on spirituals. And comparing it with rhythm and blues and hymns and just, it was brilliant. And again, one of those sort of earth shattering that if God is God of the oppressed, then God is black. And I can remember, you know, from a kid raised in cradle Methodist, you know, Cone was as alien to me and yet inspiring as anything I'd read up to that point. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, definitely going Cone. I would have. I also considered at that pick Deotis Roberts, who introduced me to Bonhoeffer's work as well as Martin Luther King Jr. But as he's kind of a counter, but I'm pretty sure you weren't going to take him because this is probably the first time you've heard of him. But you know, he's on the board later, maybe.
Yeah.
If I need a complimentary or challenging player, but yeah, I'm going to put Cone on there.
Okay. All right. This is the place where. I had Boober slated in.
Oh,
okay.
Is he going to fall in this draft?
Well, you know, since you've taken so much homegrown talent, I was just thinking of poaching just to piss you off, but it also fits a need on my team.
Okay.
And that's Dana Trent.
Really? Shameless plugs.
Yeah.
Continues.
Well, but.
No, I.
No, but seriously, you know, just the fact that she's from Duke.
What pick is that now? That's like six? She was early rounds.
Yeah. Hey,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Go. Good for you.
Yeah. Hey, the interfaith.
Right.
Component.
And it is a marriage versus sort of dysfunction. Right. But.
And her latest one is For Sabbath's Sake. You know,
was that what you were sending from Topley? Actually, there was a book that somebody gave somebody.
Yeah.
I thought that was... So Dana,
it's a signed copy.
Oh,
by the way.
Oh well, I don't know who was getting it, but you,
Bethany
was right. Bethany's excited
sister,
about it.
Bethany's sister, who's been
so Jay Dana, you've been plugged in a cigar lounge. May you join us to sign further copies.
Yes, but in seriousness, I you know her writing also is very good, but the
that's your first
the spirituality,
Christian pick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so really, you are poaching.
No, Niebuhr.
Oh, yeah, Niebuhr.
Yeah.
He's easy to forget.
Yeah. I was just thinking Dana because she's from Duke, and you got all those Dukies in there. That's why I reached a little higher for her, you know, because I was afraid that you were going to, you know, just draft anybody who taught or went to Duke.
Oh, I was going to continue in that vein, but it's not. No, actually, none of the ones I picked are pure Blue Devil.
I know. Yeah, but I've got a blue blood, blue devil.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so
not a lot of great
and someone who can hold her own against anybody you got there. You know, she's got her stuff together, and you give her a little. I'm a little concerned. You know the off field stories about matzah meth and Manischewitz. You know, that could be a problem with the testing.
Right.
You know, but other than that.
She's got some good years left in her, I would say.
Oh, she's, right. I mean, she's got one of the highest ceilings of anybody in this draft.
Definitely has the ceiling.
You know, so I know it's a reach.
You got two that are ceiling shattering theologians there.
Yeah.
Not that. Keeping it.
I'm
far as I know, all my picks are alive, or some of my picks are alive. I think many of them aren't anymore. But
yeah, well, you know, with Judaism, there's a lot. You know, you can go back how many centuries? I mean, at some point, I'm going to be picking Rabbi Isaac Gloria. So,
I have no idea who that is, but I'm sure you'll enlighten me.
The founder of Kabbalism, Kabbalah.
I thought that was Madonna.
No. She didn't found it. She was funded by it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Just because she made money by selling little red pieces of string.
Right. Well, you could have gone with Tom Cruise. That would also have been, if you want to go for just like sheer offensiveness.
Yeah.
Great. L. Ron Hubbard. Still on the board.
Still on the board.
He'll still be on the fucking board when we're done with this podcast.
Long
and dead.
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to get sued by Scientologists. Eh, fuck them.
Yeah.
I try to think
or not.
No. Well, you can take it or leave it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, you know, there's part of me that wants to double down on the patristics. There's part of me that wants to go into the Desert Fathers. But I need to...
I think that would be a good move. That's still an area of need.
It is, but not nearly as much as... Oh, man, it's like Julian of Norwich, Catherine of Siena. But you know what? I'm going to put a woman on the board. And I think
it's
she'll...
about time.
And she will compliment, challenge, and exceed any of the other people I have on the board, especially those top picks. I'm going to go with Dorothy Day, Catholic Workers
Movement.
Wow. So not only going woman...
Bold move, yes.
Going out of the Protestant, you know, cradle.
Yeah.
So far... Well, the patristics, you could... So many traditions within Christianity claim, or at least tangentially, are connected to their work. I mean, if you're using the Apostles' Creed, you're using the Nicene Creed, and...
Mm.
Yeah. But Dorothy Day, because again, getting another staunch... political and social activist, mover and shaker, and, you know, oh, the long loneliness. I mean, just so many great pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, talk about somebody that could move into that front office kind of move.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
She's got future, you know, VP or president for the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely see that up there.
And, well, another reason that Rabbi Rudenberg is, you know, she definitely has a future in player development.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, I mean, she's mentoring a lot of people, so.
That's a bit hard to mentor when you're stone dead. Didn't see Dorothy Day making it that high, but that's, yeah, it's like,
No, but I can't, no. See, you got to expand your view. So, I got a couple options here.
I think so far, all I'm characterizing is if you didn't know where I went to school, you now do, and you could probably pick what year I graduated. But I think that's the case with any theologian is, you know, the people that were there in those early formative years.
Right.
And I will point out, Wesley is still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So J-Dub has not made
still
the...
there. Oh.
You know somebody's going to tweet, why didn't you guys mention God? I'm like, come on. That's...
Because
he can't play both teams. And yet he could. Or she could.
Because I assume the existence, so...
Right.
I'm talking about a faith system... an organization. Let's see.
You're on the clock. No pressure.
I'm on the clock. No pressure. I got a lot of
just create
good
dead space
people.
For me to edit.
Got a lot of good people on my board.
Well, you know
and I mean,
letting several Martins not.
Yeah. Well, you know, Buber,
King, Luther.
King.
Probably
well,
not going to pick
well,
Luther.
Well, Luther the whole bas-relief on the city hall in his hometown of the Jews sucking at the teat of the boar from hell is a little
but
I can't get over.
Realistic.
Yeah, just you know that tweet. I know it's old and he was younger then, but that's not getting forgiven. You know, Boober's there, but
I'm coming up with picks over here.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll edit so you sound smart.
Good luck.
The hemming and hawing. I'll edit that out.
I won't
edit out me talking about the hemming and hawing, but
no.
That's just good.
I think the one thing I really haven't done, I mean, yeah, I've got Heschel and I've read it, and Heschel was very important in my theology and philosophy, but I've got to go to the semiotics. I've got to go to deconstruction. Because like you,
is got Derrida yelled, coming off the bench?
Jacques Derrida.
That's another one I'm
Jacques
surprised.
Jacques Derrida, because like experience you had, he was my affirmation when I got to college that I was not crazy.
Maybe you're still
in
you
high
could
school,
still be crazy. I mean,
well, in terms of my analysis of literature and. Well, why did this character do this? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be reading this book. You know, and that there are multiple interpretations. And you know, you change one word and you can change everything. And as long as I can support it with evidence from the text and all my middle school and high school teachers like, don't be cynical. Don't be that way. And then I get to college and I read Jacques Derrida and I'm like, oh my gosh, where were you when I was in high school? They didn't have postmodernism in my high school library. postmodernism did exist when I was in. I'm not that old.
Kind of.
Yeah, but no, but I was born after October 4th, 1957.
Sputnik.
Yeah. So, got to go to Derrida because he makes all the other things possible for me.
Howard Thurman.
Oh.
And I was getting stumbled there, but I mean, from his even from liturgies, from his various work, it needs to be, and I don't have a mystic.
You could also gone with Thurber. James Thurber would have been fine.
James Thurber is great because that would have been like the what takes me the most time editing the podcast. And I can't remember the work now, the ever increasing bit. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Thurman. Howard Thurman, man. And again, I there are other mystics, Catherine of Siena, Julian of Norwich. Could have been a number, but yeah, I'm gonna put Thurman on there. Cause again, with Cone and some of the other names that are on there, it's giving a more well-rounded team.
Okay. Well, I'll go mystic also then, and obviously I got to go with Isaac Luria, who is the author of the Zohar, according to tradition.
Right, which was a shit movie for Adam Sandler, to be honest with
you. It was.
Billy Madison.
He didn't take his own advice, you don't mess with it.
Don't mess with this. That's not the Zohan.
Yeah.
Well, there's like seven people out there, all of the Sri Lankan listeners going, that was a shitty Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. But no, because Kabbalah, very, very influential. It has, not just me, but has influenced a lot more of mainstream modern Judaism than mainstream modern Jews realize when they complain about the lack of, quote, spirituality in modern American Judaism. And they don't look at their own prayer books and see how many of things that are in there and how many of their beliefs come straight out of Kabbalah. Almost all of the eschatology of Judaism comes from Kabbalah.
That's going to be your mystic pick so far?
He's the one.
Yeah, but they could do worse.
Yeah. I mean, but again, that part of Kabbalah led to the Hasidic movement, which is the tradition that Heschel comes from and part of a tradition that Buber rejects. So, there's really not much more. I mean, Gershom Scholem, but he's not really a mystic. He's more of an educator about mysticism. And Steinsaltz, of course, he's still on the board. He's a bit of a reach to go, if you've got between Luria and Steinsaltz, you got to go with Luria if he's available.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to make a pick. I'm going to take this person off the board. But before that, I'm going to make a front office hire.
Okay.
So Phil Wyman's working for Team Henson at this point. And it'll make sense because I'm going to pick Wesley next. Because somebody's got to take the stick out of his fucking English ass. And I've said
that. I was about to say, because someone's got to keep him in line.
John, you're great on the social, there's no holiness but social holiness. But let's be realistic. You're an uptight prude. I mean, you got arrested in Savannah because you wouldn't go out with a girl and then got mad that she's like, all right, I'm moving on. And then it's suspicious that you had a come to Jesus moment conveniently after your brother Charles did. So, and you know what? Let's be fair. John would not hang out with us. Fuck it. You're profane. You're loud. You swear.
See, that's the thing.
Drink,
he's going to be difficult in your locker room.
Well, that's when you put Phil in there to just occasionally go in.
He's got a buffer. Yeah.
You got to have Phil Wyman for that pick to work. Yeah, it's like, Belichick and Brady. Yeah, late pick, but is Brady the same player without Belichick? So Phil Wyman, who, playing days may be behind him on the field, but definitely, we're talking in the locker room, we're talking in the tape video room.
Yeah.
You want Wyman there. And if nothing else.
And the players will respect him because he does have a lot of playing experience.
Right. Yeah. And the offseason is going to be great.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he can drive the team bus, which I mean.
Yes. That's a valuable
skill. I've spent more time talking about Phil Wyman than the founder of what became my denomination.
Yeah.
The name that will not come on the board for the UMC, what became the UMC, will be Francis Asbury, because if you thought Wesley was uptight, the first quote-unquote bishop of Methodism would have been the kind of guy that you would have hit with your car. And then, you know, once you boom, 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 you would back up boom, 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 and just keep doing it till you didn't hear boom, boom, boom. Now, DSs and bishops may feel differently, right. but I always struck me as a prick. Mm-hmm. But John's on the board because John, I mean, his take on grace, which is you know, podcast fodder from the past and mm-hmm. likely the future.
Episode 65.
Made so much sense to me even at a young age when I went through confirmation. He's got to come off the board. It just made sense that God moves to us before we move to God, and that grace isn't a one-time experience, but a nurturing, ongoing journey. And, you know, and I think that he does put that, you know, people now were the uptight bit for some folks to be like going on to perfection. But, you know, if we're thinking about our antinomian type heresies, if you're not aiming at perfection and faithfulness, what is your target? And anything less mm-hmm. than that, well, I mean, in a certain logical sense, doesn't make sense. If you're not aiming for, but where I think you got to have the Phil Wyman in there is for those OCD sons of bitches, you know, you got to take them down. And I always said if Wesley was getting laid and had some meds, probably wouldn't have a denomination. Yeah, that, if that didn't revoke my orders.
Wow.
So a front office move
and a pick.
And
looking at the clock, and I don't know if that was 8, 9, or 10 for us. Well, after when you edit this, you can count and see. But I'm going to declare it the last pick.
That for all of it?
Period? Well, for you, and I'll take my last pick, right. Which, you know, now this is when I'm going to pick Martin Buber. The reason that I left him so long was, one, you could have also picked him.
I held off.
That's nice, and I appreciate it, but that's one of the interesting things about Buber is a lot of his writing, particularly the I, Thou, but when you read other things that he's written, not so
Thomas
much.
Thomas Pacheco, Good that, and Evil, is also seminal work.
Mm-hmm.
His book on good and evil.
Yeah. You know, his appeal is certainly interfaith. In fact, he's respected a lot more in some non-Jewish circles than in Jewish circles.
He certainly plays across a number of traditions.
Yeah, he does. And part of that is the more modern view that he takes, but trying to live with the I, Thou as the center of any relationship. One of the reasons I bring it up, not just because I think it's a really cool concept, but I think it's vitally important in any relationship, and you put it as he says that, you know, the model of the I, Thou is us and God, and then, you know, we fail at that so many times that.
Are you going to draft Heidegger just for the
no okay. no
for the I it
no
Dasein?
Well, you know, I've between Buber. Well, I could have drafted Levinas, and then, you know, between Buber, Levinas, and Derrida, you know, I can just, you might as well bench Heidegger. Okay, and forget any kind of phenomenology at all.
Right.
Because, you know, Levinas destroys, and he, before deconstruction existed, he deconstructs Heidegger's phenomenology and his existentialism. And Derrida, you know, has already taken care of Husserl. So, you know, for me, I don't, you know, you could start Heidegger for your team. I don't care. I'm winning because I've got Derrida and now Buber.
All I can think of is.
And if I want to pick up Levinas as a free agent, there's nothing that Heidegger's going to be able to do.
This would be the most depressing football game since the philosopher's soccer match.
Yeah. Which better be the featured.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is now.
It is now the featured. Image for this.
So who's else on the board? Buber. Still on the board? Maybe people that may slip?
Well, I was going to say Emmanuel Levinas for me is still on the board. Cornel West is still on the
board.
Fuck
you. I was going to say Cornel West.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
So much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Jaynes. Mordecai Kaplan to some degree, some of his stuff. He's a little too let's leave God out of this discussion for me. But
Thich Nhat Hanh? Going to put a Buddhist mm-hmm. on the board for
you? Yeah.
Peace activist, yeah. I was
the Dalai Lama. The current one, current incarnation.
Well, I could do with Pope Francis too. He's kind of he's a mensch.
He is a mensch.
And I was also thinking, good grief, so many.
Yeah, Susanna Heschel.
Luther didn't get picked up at any point. Any of the Luthers, which again, if you're going to put Abraham, Josh, if you're going to put John Howard Yoder, I mean, at this point, Luther's offensive too, but. I was thinking Augustine's still on the board. Augustine would be more just so I have somebody to yell at as owner.
Right.
You know,
okay, got to have a whipping boy. I understand that.
But Augustine, and I'm trying to think. I'm sure I missed it. There are two that are coming.
There's a lot of talent there. And we
Kierkegaard kept him in the back of the mind. I thought, he's going to be there in the later rounds because Charles isn't going to go Danish philosophy.
I've outgrown my. I was an existentialist in middle school and high school until I discovered postmodernism
and alcohol.
And that really, no, I discovered that way before.
Oh, okay.
That was middle school and high school. The postmodern for me superseded it. It postmodernism and deconstruction. Goes where existentialism is afraid to go. Existentialism stops at the edge of the abyss and then backs off. Deconstruction fills the abyss and then keeps going forward.
And yet Nietzsche's not even on the board. We're calling him at home.
No. Yeah. Well, there's you got room for undrafted free agents.
Well, it's like,
we encourage those of you listening in Saudi Arabia and Sri Lanka. And we got some from Ireland recently this week. Post your suggestions.
So many other picks we could put on the board.
So many picks on the board. And for our listeners, we encourage you to post who you think we should have taken. You can critique any of our picks.
Grade the draft class.
Grade our draft class. Make suggestions.
I feel there's going to be more Twitter followers for you, because so many of mine are dead and gone.
Yeah.
Retired. Resting.
But I'm going to leave with words of wisdom from another great influential philosopher, sort of the elder statesman, I would put, and that's Mark Twain.
Often quoted.
Yes,
and
often.
Anybody that smokes cigars.
Yeah. So... But here, more on a theological bent.
You say cigars aren't theological. I mean, led by a pillar of fire and smoke?
Yeah.
I mean, tell me Moses wasn't burning one.
Oh, for sure. Anyway, you're stepping on Mark Twain here.
Well, he ain't going to do anything. He's dead. He's stone dead.
He's stone dead. Anyway, so Mark Twain... once famously said that the dog is a gentleman. I hope to go to his heaven, not man's.
Well, I'm Chris Henson, and I'm still the Gentile.
And I'm Charles Breton, and I'm still the Jew.
Join us on our next episode, where you can listen to a Jew and a Gentile walk into a bar mitzvah.
Special thanks to Ethan Sapphire for letting us use his song Shoulda Woulda Coulda as our theme. You can download Ethan's music at soundclick.com/Ethan Sapphire. Shoulda woulda coulda, but I didn't, that's for real. You can't get back the hand if you didn't like the deal. You made your choices, you gotta live with that. If you learn from your mistakes, you'll get another chance at that.